Log Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this, take the limits off.
Oh,
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We acknowledge your presence. Oh, Lord, we acknowledge your presence. Oh, Lord, we are grateful once again to be in this place. We welcome you to the broadcast of the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. We are so thankful that you decided to join in with us today. You could have tuned in anywhere else on the internet, but you chose the birthplace of gospel music, and we're grateful today. Sit back and relax. We're going to give you a very, very, very special presentation today of Handel's Messiah. It's going to be awesome. So do me this favor. Go ahead and hit that share button. Let everybody know that you're listening and watching the birthplace of gospel music. Jesus is in this place, and we acknowledge your presence. Oh, Lord, come on.
God of mercy, show your glory as we enter this place. Show us your face, God, please. Give us peace. We acknowledge your presence, oh Lord.
Our brother, all who live paradise. Teach us how to love each other. Lift us to the joy divine.
Good morning. This is a very special morning at Ebenezer. This is the first Sunday in December, and normally we would be looking forward to doing Handel's Messiah this afternoon. In 1743, Handel conducted the first Messiah in Dublin, Ireland. The work had been completed, more or less, and he wanted to finish it, but he conducted it himself. So after that point, it had been performed in London as a tradition and evolved into the piece that we now know as Handel's Messiah. My own experience with this particular piece of music is unique to this place, the birthplace of gospel music, in the fact that I was born in February. My mother, Ethelyn Armstrong Ingram, sang the solos to the soprano oratorio in the Messiah the Christmas before the February that I was born. So I have a very special relationship with this piece of music, and I'm honored every time I come into this sacred place to acknowledge the memory and the tradition of the Messiah being here at Ebenezer. So not this year, but next year, we will do the Handel's Messiah the first Sunday in the afternoon at Ebenezer. Amen.
God. every valley, every valley shall be exalted, shall be exalted, shall be exalted, shall be exalted. And every mountain and hill may fall, the crooked straight and the rough places plain, the crooked straight, the crooked straight and the rough places plain, and the rough places plain. Every valley, every valley shall be exalted. Every valley, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and he'll make low, the crooked straight, the crooked straight, the crooked straight, and the rough places plain, and the rough places plain, and the rough places plain. The crooked straight and then the rough
Upon the earth. shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, and we shall be changed. Thank you. trumpet shall sound. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. Be raised incorruptible. Be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, be changed. And we shall be changed. And we shall be changed. We shall be changed. And we shall be changed. And we shall be changed. And we shall be changed. We shall be changed. And we shall be changed. We shall be.
Hallelujah in this place. Hallelujah in this place. We are so excited and great thanks to all of those who have participated thus far in our highlights of the Messiah. As Brother Al Ingram has already stated, this has been a historical, historically we have offered this rendition of the entire chorus Messiah every December. And because of the COVID-19 pandemic, we have had to alter. But we are so grateful for Sister Dana Campbell and Jeffrey Burris and Prince Polk, who have lended their gifts so that we can push forward and keep the tradition going. We are called to be creative in the midst of a crisis. And we have done that. And we're going to have a little bit more to come. We will have the preach word. It won't be long, I promise you. But we are excited because we envision this happening. And so at this time of our worship and service, you can participate in the worship through giving. We are so grateful for what you already have done. Many of you have seeded into our ministry here at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. We thank you in advance for what you have done and what you will do. Please, I'm asking you right now. This is the season of giving. This is the Advent season. This is the Christmas season. I'm asking you first to just pray. Just to pray and ask the Lord what you should seed and what you should give in this worship service. If you have been blessed already, I'm asking you to seed, to give and seed an offering at this time. On the screen, you will see shortly the three ways that you can give to Ebenezer. You can text to give. You can go to our website, EbenezerBronzeville.org, and you can hit the donate button and give that way. Or if you prefer, you can mail it the old-fashioned way, snail mail, and put it in the mail and mail it to 4501 South Vincennes Avenue, 60652. And we will receive that. 60653. Or you can just bring it by the church and drop it in our mailbox. But we are so grateful. And we pray that you will bless Ebenezer through this season of giving. Our musicians are going to play now. As you prepare your best gifts, as you prepare to sow a seed this morning. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Just a quick couple of announcements before we go into our altar call, our virtual altar call, and lift the names that are on our sick list. We want to say thank you to all of you who participated already in the toy drive, but we have a lot of work to do. So, unto our Ebenezer friends and family, we ask you to participate in our toy drive. You can drop a toy off here at Ebenezer, a new toy, and drop it off Tuesday through Thursday. Drop it off, and someone here will be happy to receive these toys. We want to be a blessing to our community, and we know for a lot of families right now it is quite difficult. And so we're asking you to drop off a toy for our families in the community. We also want to make mention, thank you to all of those of you who have gone way beyond and have seeded into our brick restoration project here at Ebenezer. If you go to our website, you will see pictures of some of the progress that has been going on at EbenezerBronzeville.org. We still have a ways to go, but we thank you for your faithfulness, and we're asking that you will continue to support us. Thank you so much for your generosity. We have on our sick list today, Reverend James Thompson is asking for prayer. Brenda Ramsey, Al Ramsey, Janie Burns, the Burtons. We're continuing to lift up the Hackett family, the Gray family. We're remembering in prayer Pastor Mark Keller, who is recovering. We're lifting in prayer Albretta Jackson, who is requesting prayer. We continue to pray for Lady Pamela's mom and dad, Sister Bernice Bernetta Pearson, and for her dad. We're lifting them in prayer. We know that we are a people of prayer. And as we've lifted up to these names, Bernetta and David and Albretta and Janie and Reverend James and so many others, we know that we serve a God who hears and answers prayer. And even if your name didn't make this list, God knows your circumstance. So we lift up the names that we know and the unspoken names right now. We come before God, a grateful people, knowing that God has carried us through what has been a tumultuous, trying, difficult year. But yet, as we stand here on the first Sunday of December, the last first Sunday of the year, we stand here with gratitude because the Lord, as the Lord often does, has made ways out of no ways. He has healed bodies. He has restored those who have been sick. He has comforted those who have mourned. He has walked with those who have walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And so we come to God right now with grateful hearts, seeking his face to sustain us just a little while longer. And so won't you join me in a word of prayer? Eternal God, our Father, you know the names that are on the list. You know the meditations of our hearts right now. And God, we ask right now that you would meet each of us at the point of our need. Lord, we're asking, we're beseeching you, God, to have mercy. Have mercy on our bodies. Have mercy in our minds. Have mercy in our circumstances, in our lives right now. God, we know that we are entering, we are in the season
of Christmas, this Advent season. God, we're asking that you would help us to focus anew on what you did for us through your Son, Jesus the Christ. God, we ask that while we're not able to do some of the things we have done in the past, we have had to stay closer to home with a small circle of family and friends. We still ask, oh God, that you would help us to rediscover the meaning of Christmas. That it's all about Christ. It's all about his sacrifice. It's all about peace and love and, most importantly, hope. Hope in a risen Savior today. God, we lift up our nation right now. We lift up our government, oh God. We're asking, oh God, that those who have been called to serve would pick up the mantle and serve in honorable ways. We are lifting up first responders right now, God, doctors and nurses and so many other sanitation workers, all of those people who are trying to keep us safe and healthy. We're lifting up fire and police and so many others, oh God. We're lifting up, oh God, right now, churches, all churches opened in your name. We lift up Ebenezer, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for this great church. We thank you for this venerable church, oh God, that has been on this corner and has been serving this community for over 118 years. We thank you, oh God, for those who have walked its corridors. We thank you, oh God, for those who have taught your classes, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for those who have served in the capacity of pastor and deacons and trustees and so many. We're lifting up those who are currently serving with faithfulness and with dedication. God, cause us not to get weary with well-doing. Cause us not to faint, oh God, but to press forward and do what you have called us to do. God, we're grateful today. We're grateful to serve. We're grateful to offer our gifts unto you. We're grateful, oh God, that you allowed us to have these moments to lift your name on high. God, we ask right now that as we go forward with the balance of our service, that your spirit might continue to permeate this space and to transfer it, oh God, out into the airways of Facebook Live and those who are listening on the telephone. We ask, oh God, that this sweet spirit that we feel in this place will be felt beyond these walls. This is our prayer. This is our plea. In Jesus' name, and for his sake, we all pray. And all of God's people said, amen.
He feels it just like you, but he can't afford to let you feel only good when you can appreciate the good times. Be grateful. Be grateful, because there's someone else that's worse off than you. Be grateful, because there's someone else who would rather be in your shoes. Be grateful. My God said in his word that he never leave you. Be grateful. My God said in his word that he never leave you. Be grateful. Oh yeah, be grateful. Oh hallelujah, be grateful. My God said be grateful. Be grateful. Even through the hard times.
First song I ever sang in this church in my life. That's been a long time ago.
That was yesterday.
It kind of seems like it. Now I gotta wing it. I can't find it. Sweet little Jesus boy, we made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, we didn't know who you was. Didn't know you come to save us, Lord, take our sins away. Our eyes were blind, we could not see, we didn't know who you were. Long time ago, you was born in a manger low. Sweet little Jesus boy, the world treats you mean, Lord, treats me mean too. But that's how things is down here. We didn't know who you was. You done showed us how we're trying. Showed us how, even when you was dying, just seems like we can't do right. Look how we treated you, but please, son, forgive us, Lord. We didn't know it was you.
sweet little Jesus boy, we made to be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, we didn't know who you are.
We are grateful for the gifted musicians and soloists who have prepared the ground for this short preachment this morning. In the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th and 7th verse, you'll find these words recorded. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The word of God for the people of God, and all of God's people said, Amen. I want to speak just briefly from the subject, finding hope in our uncertainties. Finding hope in our uncertainties. Where were you when? Every generation has it. A where were you when question about some cultural seismic event. Where were you when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon? Where were you when JFK or Martin Luther King Jr. were assassinated? Where were you when the Challenger shuttle exploded? Where were you when you heard about Columbine? Where were you on 9/11? Some of those examples predate many of us, but we all have a new one we can share. Where were you when you first realized this coronavirus was for real? Moments like these are big. They change us. They change our circumstances. They shift our cultures. Our lives are never the same again. Unfortunately, many of these tend to be negative events or catastrophes or tragedies. They strike with no warning and introduce a new sense of uncertainty in our lives. It sounds like 2020, does it not? What a year we've had. If you think about it, has there ever been a year filled with more uncertainty, more ambiguity, more unrest, more fear, at least in our lifetimes? You know what's on the list, for we've all been living it for almost a full year. Global pandemic, economic recession, mass unemployment, political division, cultural upheaval, racial reckoning, record wildfires, complete with fire tornadoes, extra powerful hurricanes and floods that we have ran out of names for hurricanes. Did I miss anything? I'm not trying to bring us down here, quite the opposite. But this is the reality we've all been living with for quite some time. It's been a tough year. If there's ever a year we need Christmas, this is it. If there's ever a year we need the hope of Christmas, this is it. If there's ever a year we need Christ, my friends, this is that year. It's a good thing we've made it here to Advent, nearly to Christmas. We find words of hope that we so desperately need in Isaiah, the 9th chapter. For unto us
a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see, this is the season of hope. Advent is all about hope. For the word Advent means coming or arrival, and the season is traditionally a time of expectation, of waiting, of anticipation, and longing. Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It is a season that links the past, the present, and the future. Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate his birth, and to be alert for his second coming. Advent looks back in celebration at the hope fulfilled in Jesus' coming, while at the same time looking forward in hopeful and eager anticipation to the coming of Christ's kingdom. Far too often, our Christmases have become frenzied and overwhelmingly busy. We have this office party and that office party to go to, but not this year. We pack our schedules with so many seasonal happenings. Our stores start pushing Christmas decor and merchandise and fueling a gift buying frenzy in October. Our season of peace is quickly overloaded as a season of stress. But Advent is an opportunity to set all that aside. Advent is a time to prepare our hearts and help us place our focus on a far greater story than our own. The story of God's redeeming love for our world. It's not a season of pretending to be happy or covering up the pain or hardships we've had experienced during this year or continue to experience. It's a season of digging deep into the reality of what it means that God sent his son into the world to be Emmanuel, God with us. It is a season of expectation and preparation, an opportunity to align ourselves with God's presence more than just a hectic season of presence. So wherever you are on your level of 2020 anxiety and uncertainty, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, I invite you into this season of Advent. I'd like to even suggest that in the craziness and in the uncertainty and pandemic of this year, we've been given a gift. We've been given the opportunity to rediscover Christmas. You know, we think we have it bad today, but you do know Israel had it bad back in the days of the Bible. And they could make a pretty compelling case during the time of Jesus when they, like much of the world, were a defeated nation under the thumb of the Roman Empire. It was a harsh, difficult day to live in, a time of conquest and utter brutality. It had been thousands of years since the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the calling out of God's people. It had been thousands of years of being invaded and conquered by enemies like the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and then the massive empires of the Greeks and the Romans. It had been generations and upon generations since the formation of God's covenant with humanity, promising a Messiah to make things right, to bless humans and restore all that we humans had messed up since God's perfect creation. The fulfillment of God's covenant and the coming of the Messiah, who would come to make everything right, wasn't just a happy idea that drifted in and out of the Israelites' consciousness and culture. It was their deepest hope that sustained them and encouraged them and spurred them on, especially through the thousands of years of uncertain waiting. They clung to God's promise, to this hope to Abraham in Genesis 12 and 3. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. But how long, oh God, was the cry of the ancient Israelite people? And how long can hope survive? Especially under the world-changing forces of the Greek and Roman empires, whose cultures we are still influenced by today. Were there even embers of hope left smoldering? As we see in Isaiah, the answer is yes. The people of Israel had no hope, but that wasn't always true. They once had hope. The story of the nation of Israel is a story of hope that was offered. That offer goes clear back to the story of Abraham. You know the story. Abraham and his wife Sarah were childless in a time and culture where children were seen as a blessing from God. And God stepped into their lives and promised them the impossible, a child. Now, I know that having a child isn't impossible. Sometimes even people who have assumed they couldn't have children discover that they can actually conceive. They usually name that child surprise or oops. But in the case of Sarah and Abraham, they were old and had been married for years, and they had given up any hope for ever having a child. A friend of mine told me years ago that he and his wife just had to sneeze and somehow they got pregnant. Now, I'm not sure that's how it works, but apparently nothing worked for Sarah and Abraham, not even sneezing. And into their world stepped God with a word of hope. They were not only promised a child, they were promised a nation. We read that promise in Genesis 12, where the Lord has said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. And over the next 1,500 years, that hope was reinforced over and over. Time and time again, the people of Israel were reminded of the hope that came with the promise. We see it in the story of Joseph, and the story of Moses, and the story of Joshua, and the story of Judges, and the story of King David, and the story of his son Solomon. And for the people of Israel, they look back to those days as a reminder of the hope that they once had. That once they had dreamed of being a great nation, that once they were a great nation. On a more personal level, each one of us is a statement of hope. When we were born, in most cases, our parents looked at us and imagine what we might be. They imagine us making an impact and changing the world. They imagine us being everything they had wanted to be. They looked into the face of a newborn and saw someone who would change the world. And each one of us has changed the world simply by being in it. Without you and without your contribution, the world would be a different place than it is right now. Most of us can remember the hope you had as a child. You were going to be an astronaut or a lawyer or a fireman or a police officer or a princess. You were going to grow up and marry and have a house with a picket fence and have your 2.3 children and have a nice car and a perfect job. But at some point along the journey, you may have lost hope. That's what happened to the people of Israel. They may have started with hope, but somewhere along the line, they lost hope. I wonder this morning if Abraham and Sarah had lost hope when 20 years after the promise, they still hadn't had a child. When Sarah was reminded of the promise, she laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my husband is also so old? Or maybe Joseph, who was Abraham's great-grandson, lost hope when he was sold into slavery by his brother. Or I wonder if Moses lost hope when he had to lead the people of Israel in circles for 40 years after their escape from Egypt. We don't know. What we do know is that it had been hundreds of years since Israel had been in its heyday, and people had lost any hope of their country being anything but a second-tier country without a ruler of their own, governed by tyrants and bullies. As Isaiah had predicted, they were people living in darkness, people without hope. I believe and I submit to you that maybe they needed to heed the words of Martin Luther King Jr., who said, we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. For hundreds of years after the first occupation, God's prophet had pointed to a better future and a future deliverer. And then for 400 years, nothing. Not a prophetic word had been recorded since the prophet Malachi finished his prophecy with God's words. In 2020, beloved, it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to feel that you are being singled out, that COVID has become personal. You've had to cancel your trips. You've had to change your plans. You can't spend time like you used to with loved ones. It's been a rough and difficult year. And if we were honest, some of us have lost hope. Beloved, you should know, though, that problems become magnified when we lose hope. Whether it's losing hope that a marriage will ever get any better, that we will ever get our weight issues under control, or that we will ever get out of debt. Because when we lose hope, we quit trying. Why put any more into a marriage if there's no hope of it getting any better? Why focus on paying off our debt if it's hopeless? Why bother even trying to eat right if we aren't going to lose the weight we need to lose? When there is no hope, there can be no endeavor. But let me share something with you that I learned at the knee of my grandmother. She said to me, where there is life, there is hope. As long as you have a pulse, there is hope. And while we don't have control over everything, we have control over some things. And I submit to you today that hope is a choice. For every night has a dawn. Every storm has an end. Every mountain has a peak. And while it seems like life is just too hard, remember, today you just need to make it through today. For Jesus even reminded his followers of that truth in Matthew 6. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Anyone can carry his burden, however hard, until nightfall. Anyone can do his work, however hard, for one day. Anyone can live sweetly and patiently and lovingly and purely until the sun goes down. And this is all that life really means. And so 2,000 years ago, with the birth of Jesus, their hope was restored. 2,000 years ago, the Messiah came forth. Today, like 2,000 years ago, hope is a choice.
We can choose to embrace hope or embrace hopelessness, but it will be our choice. We have roughly 21 days until 2021. I'm embracing the words of Alfred Lord Tennyson, who wrote, "Hope smiles from the threshold of the year to come, whispering it will be happier." Hope is a choice. Hope is the fuel of faith and dreams and possibilities. Hope is that whisper of maybe, just maybe. It's the spark in the cold darkness that catches flame. It's the flicker of first light on a new morning. No matter how bad your year has been, no matter what kind of problems and struggles you are facing at this moment, no matter what kind of season of darkness and pain you are in, let me encourage you not to abandon hope. Hope is still alive, even in our deepest pain and our most hopeless circumstances. Hope chases away the darkness. It chases away the uncertainty. Hope is alive because Emmanuel, God, is with us. Hope is a choice. I don't know about you, but I learned in this hollow ground, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let us, as we go forward, find hope in our uncertainties. The word of God for the people of God and all of God's people said, amen. We're going to open the doors of the church. We're going to extend an invitation to you to join with us here at Ebenezer. Traditionally, we would be in this place and space, and we would invite persons to come down the aisle. But we have been operating and existing in a virtual space for the past 7-8 months. But we can still extend an invitation to you. And so if you are not in right relationship with God, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we are extending an invitation to you right now to give your life to the Lord. We're asking you, if you want to be saved, to call our church, Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. Our number is 773-373-6144. Leave your name with one of our deacons or our church clerk, and we will follow up with you and go over the plan of salvation with you. Or you can text your information in the chat space, and someone from our office will follow up with you to go over the plan of salvation. But whichever way you choose, we extend this invitation to you during this season of Advent, during this season of hope. The doors of the church are open. Is there one today? We offer Christ to you. Is there one today? You could come by letter, by Christian experience. We extend this invitation to you today. Don't wait. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Let's move while we have a chance, while we have this blessed opportunity. Preparing now to celebrate Holy Communion, this last
first Sunday of the year. And if you didn't have a chance to stop by the church to pick up your elements, you can run into your cupboard and grab some crackers or some bread, run some water in a cup, and we can sanctify those elements wholly. We'll give you a moment to grab your elements as we prepare to commune together. Christ our Lord invites us to this his table, all who love him and seek to grow in his likeness. Let us draw near in faith and make our humble confessions unto Almighty God. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for these elements. These elements that will become for us your body that was broken, your blood that was shed. Sanctify these wholly in your name. God, search our hearts. If there's anything in our hearts that will not allow us to partake, we ask that you will remove it right now. God, we're thankful. We are thankful for this sacrifice. We are thankful, oh God, for your willingness to send your son for us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.
Amen.
On the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. He took the bread and he said, this is my body. This bread represents my body that was broken for you. As often as you eat this, you do so in remembrance of me. Take, eat, ye all of it. And in like manner, he took the cup. He blessed it. And he said that this cup represents my blood that was shed. As often as you drink of this cup, you do so in remembrance of me. Drink ye all of it to your comfort.
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you. You are the living word, awesome ruler, gentle redeemer. God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you. You are the living word.
Yes.
Jesus, Jesus, down from glory, manger born, but on a tree, you died to save humanity. You are the living word.
Yes, you are the living word.
Jesus, that's what we call you. Manger born, but on a tree, you died to save humanity. You are the living word. Bread of life, sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. You are the living word.
Amen.
Bread of heaven.
Amen.
Gentle redeemer. God with us, yeah, God with us, the living truth. And what a friend we have in you. You are the living word. Awesome ruler, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's what we call you. Jesus, Jesus, oh.
Before we have our concluding song, Hallelujah, from Handel's Messiah,
I want to say thank you to all of you who have participated to bring this to fruition. To Dana Campbell, Jeffrey Burrish, Marion Blackman, to our guitar players, the Harris Senior and Harris Junior, Everett Newchurch, Brother Eric Hill, to Prince Polk on the trumpet, to Susan Anglin, Albert Ingram, thank you for bringing this dream to fruition. And for those of you who are watching, next year, God willing, we will have this whole choir stand filled with voices to do the full rendition of Handel's Messiah. For those of you that want to see what that is like and what it's been like at Ebenezer, at 3 o'clock on Facebook Live, we will rebroadcast the 2018 year of Handel's Messiah. We invite you to watch it on Facebook Live today, this afternoon. But we're going to be bigger next year. We're going to have a full orchestra. Now, I didn't put it out there. We're going to have a full orchestra. And we're going to have a tremendous, tremendous time as we glorify God.
That's what we call you. Jesus, Jesus, oh, you are the living word.
Amen. Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus.
And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you before his Father with exceedingly great joy, to the all-wise God be dominion and power, honor and glory, now, henceforth, and forevermore is our prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.